Thanks for joining us for today's program. Pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers has introduced people all over the world to the love of Jesus Christ and has impacted untold numbers of lives by presenting profound truth, simply stated. We hope you'll have your Bibles open and be ready to follow along with Pastor Adrian Rogers as we go through today's study of God's Word. We're finishing our series in the book of Acts called Living Supernaturally. Today, Pastor Rogers addresses a topic we could all use a little help with.
There's no way that you can come here today and by God, bribe God. You say, well, I put a big offering in the offering plate. No, God wants not your sacrifices. God wants your obedience. Hath God as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. What he means is offering the very best animals on the altar. Now, listen to verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Remember that word. And stubbornness is as iniquity. Remember that word. And idolatry. Remember that word. Now, here's what God says disobedience is like. If you're a disobedient Christian, here's what disobedience is like. First of all, it is like witchcraft. It is like witchcraft. Now, are you disobeying something that God told you to do? May I tell you that you are practicing a form of witchcraft? Now, you may not think you're practicing witchcraft, but disobedience puts you on the same side of the fence as Satan. That's what made the devil, was his rebellion against the will of God. And so, disobedience is witchcraft. And before long, Saul, who had disobeyed the Lord, was consorting with a witch, if you know your Bible. Secondly, disobedience is not only like witchcraft, but it's also iniquity. Disobedience is a clenched fist in the face of God. It is saying, God, not your will, but mine be done. Now, it may be a small thing, but disobedience over a small thing is not a small thing, because disobedience is a big thing, even if the thing is a small thing that you're disobeying.
Have your Bibles open to the book of Acts, chapter 5, and stay with us for today's message, The Expedience of Obedience. As always, downloads of today's program, outline, notes, and other materials related to today's message are available on our website, lwf.org. I'll be back at the conclusion of the program with more information about how you can connect with Love Worth Finding Ministries. Now, let's join Adrian Rogers.
Be finding in God's Word, Acts chapter 5, and when you found it, look up here and let me ask you a question. How many really happy and victorious Christians do you know? Now, we have sung victory in Jesus, but in reality, how many happy and victorious Christians do you know? Second question, when you look into the mirror, do you see one of them? Are you really a happy and a victorious Christian? Now, don't give me the answer that would sound good, because I don't want you to answer out loud. I want you to answer internally, but truthfully. Are you happy? Are you victorious? Well, it all depends. I love the song that says, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. What? But to trust and obey. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is obedience. Now, let me give you the background for the passage of Scripture we're going to read in just a moment. We're going to read verse 29 in just a moment. But the apostles had been witnessing. God had been moving. Jesus ascended. He gave the Great Commission. Jesus went up. The Holy Spirit came down. The apostles went out. The lost came in. They turned that world upside down and inside out for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Herodians, and the whole shooting match were upset at what they were doing. And the high priest took these apostles and put them in jail for preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But an angel came that night and set them free, sort of a sanctified jailbreak. And the apostles had been commanded not to preach, not to teach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there they are the next morning out there in the same place preaching and teaching Jesus. They've been put in jail for that. Well, they come to the high priest and said, I thought you put those guys in jail. And here they are out there on the street preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. And so they call them back again one more time. And now we get to our text. Let's start in verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, this man they were referring to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, if you don't mind marking your Bible, I'd like for you to mark that sentence. We ought to obey God rather than men. I've marked it in this Bible that I'm preaching from this morning. We ought to obey God rather than men. And then skip down to verse 32. And here's what else they said. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Now, twice in this paragraph, he's mentioning obedience. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is obedience, the expedience of obedience. Here's the first thing I want to lay on your heart. We should review the reasons for obedience. Now, if you don't have a good reason for obeying, you probably will not obey. So I think it's altogether fitting that we look at this passage and review the reasons for obedience. Here's the first reason. Obedience is a duty to be performed. Now, notice what he says, we ought to obey. We ought to obey. There is an ought to it. There's no contest. We ought to obey God rather than men. Now, men said to do one thing, God said to do something else. And they said, well, that's a no-brainer. We're going to obey God. We're not going to obey men if what men say and do contradicts what God does. Does God have any right to command you? Of course he does. We ought to obey God. Why? Because God is a sovereign God and we ought to obey him. We get into trouble many times because we do not simply obey God. Secondly, it is a debt to be paid. It is a debt to be paid. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, friend, Jesus has done so much for us. In this particular passage of Scripture, notice what he says as he's giving his rationale for obeying. He says here in verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. And then he explains it. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, and to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Think what Jesus Christ has done for me. Think what he's done for you. He suffered, bled, and died upon that cross. Know to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Look at Calvary, bloody Calvary, and then tell me if you have a right to disobey. No, it is a duty to be performed. It is a debt to be paid. And I'll tell you something else. It is a delight to be preferred. Obedience is a delight to be preferred. Don't get the idea that the will of God is something you have to do. God's not going to force it on you. It is something you get to do. And when you learn to obey, then you're going to learn the joy that everybody's talking about in the Christian life. There's no such thing as a happy, disobedient Christian. It is a contradiction in terms. Look in chapter 5, verse 41. Then they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I am telling you that obedience and rejoicing come together. It is a lie out of hell that doing the will of God is painful and makes you miserable. The Bible says his commandments are not grievous. Now, I want to say a fourth thing about obedience. Not only is it a delight that if you were utterly selfish, you'd want to do the will of God. It is a delight to be preferred, but friend, it is a decision to be practiced. Now, you must decide to obey. Now, God will allow you to disobey. Have you ever heard anybody say, oh, well, God's will be done. God's will be done. Everything is God's will. Just praise God. If God wants it to happen, it'll happen. If God doesn't want it to happen, he won't let it happen. That, my friend, there's a Greek word for that, and it's baloney. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Listen. God's will is not always done. Now, there's some people who say that, that God's will is always done in everything. God's will is not always done. If God's will is always done, why did Jesus teach us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? No, there are a lot of things that are not the will of God. And God will allow you to to disobey Him, and that does not diminish God's sovereignty at all. God gives man the power to rebel against Him without diminishing God's sovereignty. God has given man a choice. You can choose to obey or you can choose not to obey. Now, you cannot obey Him unless He enables you to obey Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And it is God that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Obedience to God is like breathing. Is breathing a gift of God? Well, you better believe it is, because God gives you lungs and God gives you air. But you can smother if you want. Obedience is a gift of God in the sense that God gives you the will, God works in you, but there comes a decision, and God is not going to force you to obey Him. And don't you shrug your shoulders and say, well, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. No! There is, dear friend, a decision to be practiced. You must say, I will obey Him. And these are the compelling reasons for obedience. Now, let's go to the second point. Not only should we look at the reasons for obedience, we should recognize the requirements for obedience. Now, what are the requirements for obeying God? I want to mention some of them if you would really obey God. Number one, your obedience must be informed obedience. It must be informed obedience. How can you obey God if you don't know what it is that God wants you to do? Now, these apostles had had a command from God. You in Acts chapter 5, begin looking in verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But now watch verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand, and speak in the temple to all the people all the words of this life. Can be plainer. They were told what to do. Go, do it. Now the reason they were doing it is because they've been told to do it. All true obedience is informed obedience. You must hear from God in order to obey God. Now just don't go out doing things just because you want to do them and think that you're living the Christian life. What God doesn't initiate, God doesn't appreciate. God is going to tell you what to do. And God has never promised to bless any endeavor that He has not commanded. There must be, number one, informed obedience. Number two, there must be intentional obedience. You see, doing right is not merely abstaining from doing wrong. It's very obvious that these apostles wanted to know the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. I try to present myself to the Lord every morning and say, Lord, I'm yours to command. I want to hear from you. Now, here's a third thing. It must be immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. You see, they are telling these apostles, listen, we told you not to preach or teach in His name. That's very interesting. Well, let's just look at it again. Look in verse 28. Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in His name? And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted. They just said, don't do that, and He's doing it. I mean, the minute He said, we told you not to preach, bang, He's preaching. I mean, immediately. Immediately. Hey, He's not waiting. He's not thinking about it. He is doing it. It is immediate obedience. Now, let me tell you something. Procrastination is a form of disobedience. Procrastination is a form of disobedience. Be swift, my soul, to answer Him. Be jubilant, my feet. The best time to do the will of God is when you are aware that God wants it done. Friend, understanding can wait, obedience cannot. Understanding can wait, obedience cannot. Psalm 119 verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Ours is not to reason why. Ours is not to make reply. Ours is but to do or die. And when God puts a period, don't you put a question mark. Immediate obedience. Number four, it must be inflexible obedience. Well, now what I mean by inflexible obedience? I mean no matter what it costs. No matter what it costs, you cannot compromise with obedience. Now, these apostles knew that to obey God could mean death. Look back in verse 33, chapter 5, verse 33. When these men had been preaching, the Bible says when the authorities heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. I mean, this is not a small thing when these men are preaching. They are preaching with the cloud of a death sentence over their head. Inflexible obedience, no matter what. Next, it must be impassioned obedience. I mean, doing the will of God from our heart. It's obvious that you might as well have told the noonday sun not to shine as to tell these men not to preach and not to share the Lord Jesus Christ, because they are full of passion, burning, blazing, emotional passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a zeal for God? God forgive our lukewarm, half-hearted, indifferent obedience. If you're going to serve Him with joy. Ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Now, let me go to the third and final thing here as we're talking. We've talked to you about the reasons for obedience. And we've talked to you about the requirements for obedience from this passage. Let me talk to you a little bit about the rewards for obedience. Remember, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let me tell you three things will happen when you begin to obey. Number one, the Spirit will be received. The Spirit will be received. Look in verse 32. Here's what the apostle said, "And we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him." We are witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. Do you want spiritual power in your life? Friend, God is not going to give spiritual power to rebels. Why should God release the anointing power of the Holy Spirit upon your life when you're not living in obedience? God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. The Holy Spirit is there to get His work done. And even if you're not a rebel, why should God fill you with the Holy Spirit? I mean, a man pushes an automobile into the Texaco station. The fenders are flopping. The tires are flat. The gas tank has a hole in it. Distributor has been taken out of the car. The headlights are broken. And the guy shoves it into the Texaco station. Man comes out. Of course, they don't come out anymore. He says, "What can I do for you?" You say, "Well, fill her up." He said, "What for?" "Oh, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit." God says, "What for? What for? Why should I give the Holy Spirit to you?" God gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey Him. If you don't have power in your life, I'm going to tell you, it's because you're living in disobedience. Now, what are the results? Number one, the Spirit is received. Number two, joy is achieved. Look in verse 41. The Bible says they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. You're going to be a joyful Christian when you obey the Lord. Disobedient Christians are not joyful Christians. And we need some more joyful Christians. Say amen. I see a lot of folks look like the picture on the driver's license. We need some joyful Christians. When we obey, the Spirit is received. When we obey, joy is achieved. I'll tell you something else. When we obey, the gospel is believed. Look, if you will, now in verse 42. "And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Why did they do that? Because they were obeying Him. Has God given you a command to share Jesus Christ? Answer me. Yes. What is the alternative to obeying Him? It is disobedience. What is the result of disobedience? It is no spiritual power and there's no joy in your life. God has given you a command to do it. Now, if you do it, will God bless your obedience? Will God give you the Holy Spirit and bless what you're doing? Well, just go on to the next chapter. "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied." Why? Listen. When you obey Him, the Spirit is received, joy is achieved, and the gospel is believed. There are enough people in this very room right now, turn this city inside out, upside down, and right side up for Jesus Christ. Is that not true? If we became obedient Christians. You think, well, you've done God a wild favor when you get here on Sunday morning. I mean, there are people who really call this, you say, well, this is the service. No, this is not the service. This is the service station. The service is out there. You're just coming to get your tank filled a little bit. You're coming to get some instructions. You're coming to get some encouragement. Friend, God has called us to rescue the perishing and care for the dying and snatch them in pity from sin in the grave, to weep o'er the erring one, to lift up the fallen one, and to tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. And no matter what else you're doing, if you are not sharing the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not an obedient Christian. I don't care how faithfully you attend. I don't care how eloquently you teach. I don't care how beautifully you sing. I don't care how generously you give. I don't care how scrupulously you live. If you're not sharing Jesus Christ, you're living in disobedience, and you are guilty of high treason against heaven's King. Say amen. Amen. Now that's true. Now we can't all do it the same way. We cannot all be preachers, but we can all be reachers. Now, let me come to a conclusion. And I want to ask some questions. Again, I want to ask, has God been speaking to you? Is God telling you to do something? Remember that procrastination is a sin. Is God telling you to give something? Then do it. He put a dollar in the plate and sung with might and main, when we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. I'm going to give it one day. I just hate to let go of it. No, do it. Do it. Is there somebody that you need to make restitution with? Somebody you need to go to and say, I'm sorry. I spoke crossly to Joyce. I hate to tell you this, but I did. I started to say she deserved it. She really didn't. I went upstairs trying to prepare a sermon, and God said, Adrian, you know what you're supposed to do. I had to leave, go all the way down the stairs, into the bedroom. Say, honey, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You know, you don't let things build up. You don't let them fester. You do exactly what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Has God been laying something on your heart, some restitution you need to make, somebody that you need to ask forgiveness? Is there some deed of kindness that you know you're supposed to do? Why don't you do it? Is there some spiritual thing that you need to fulfill? Some of you ought to be baptized as a believer in Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible teaches about believers' baptism. You know exactly what you ought to do, but you've never been baptized for whatever reason. Maybe you think it's inconvenient. Maybe you don't want to ruin your hairdo. Maybe you don't want to go in front of all those people. Whatever. Listen, friend, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. It is sin. Now I'm just saying, is there some point in your life where you are disobeying God? Remember that disobedience is as witchcraft. Disobedience is as iniquity. Disobedience is as idolatry. It is not failing to pick up the paper that is the problem. It is the rebellion against God that is the problem. Don't stonewall God. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And you can't just blow past something. You know, there's no statute of limitations when it comes to obeying God. There's certain things you don't just say, well, I'm going to blow past. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And for you, if you've never been saved, that obedience comes with believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says when He comes again, He's taking vengeance in flaming fire on those who know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, obey Him by giving your heart to Him, trusting Him as your personal Lord and Savior, and you will find the joy of obedience is wonderful, incredible. It's the life that you would choose to live because He loves you so much, and He'll never ask you to do anything that would harm you or cause you to harm someone else. His commandments are not grievous.
Love Worth Finding is here to strengthen Christians in their faith and to reach out to those that may not know Jesus through the plain-spoken, biblical wisdom and teaching of Adrian Rogers. If after listening to today's message you have a question, a spiritual need, or just a desire to know Jesus, please contact us at the number listed on your screen or at lwf.org. Now, with a final message, here's Pastor Rogers.
Thank you for being with us today. Now, if you want your home to be what it ought to be, you're going to have to build it on Jesus Christ, the solid rock. Ask Him to come into your heart. Pray a prayer like this, "Dear Lord, I know that You love me. I know that You want to save me. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need to be saved, and I cannot save myself. Come into my heart right now, Lord Jesus. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me, and begin to make me the person You want me to be. Amen." Now, if you prayed that prayer and were sincere, write us so we can rejoice with you. And besides that, we will send you some free literature to help you get started in your Christian life.
We hope that today's message has been a blessing to you. To listen to the entire series, Living Supernaturally, find other materials related to today's message, or to learn more about Love Worth Finding Ministries, visit us at lwf.org. At lwf.org, you can hear hundreds of messages from Adrian Rogers through our audio and video on demand, download outlines and notes from recent messages, and browse books and other materials available from Adrian Rogers. You can also sign up to receive a daily email devotion from Adrian Rogers delivered directly to your computer or mobile device every morning. And if you're looking for some inspiration or encouragement to get you through the week, follow us on social media at LWF Ministries. Join us next week as we begin a new series, One Lord, One Love, with God's design for a Christian marriage.
Now, what we're going to do today is look at some foundational truths. Now, later on, we're going to talk about communication. We're going to talk about other things that deal with intimacy. But before we do that, I want to give you what I call the divine design. What did God intend for the family? Do you know what my job, my assignment from God is? My assignment from God is to love Joyce as Christ loved the church. And how does Jesus love the church? The Bible says that He loved it this way, that He gave Himself for it, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing.
Join us next time for The Divine Design. And don't forget, you can catch up with our program each week at lwf.org and on our Facebook and YouTube channels. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next week.
Love Worth Finding is a viewer-supported ministry, and we need the help of faithful viewers like you as we share the love of Christ each week. And as a thank you for your financial support this month, we'll send you these 5 how-to booklets on living a supernatural life. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.